You know, I love my state. We have four distinct seasons. But you can always also have four distinct seasons all within about 3 or 4 days of each other. I mean, you want to see something funny? Pull up Google Maps. Make sure you have the traffic little box click so you can see traffic conditions. And look at the road going into Folly Beach. 75 degrees in Charleston, 72 or so here in the upstate. Wow. But, you know, it does this every year. Sometimes every year, whether it's late November or early mid-December, you get this warming trend, and it is just is what it is. This is South Carolina. I blame it on the mountains if you want to. Or I guess this year it's El Nino, which I thought was supposed to be colder and wetter. It's wetter and warmer. Hang on a second. Next month, January. Okay. Thank you, Dave, the weather guy. Oh, it's not. Thank you very much for that. Hey, you're welcome to the show. You're listening to Woods and Water, South Carolina on 94.5 WGTK FM. News talk for the upstate. And my name is Roger Metz. I'll be with you for the next hour. You are going to need these. The telephone number for today, 877-235-9405. You're going to need them because we've got some good stuff to give away. It's Christmas. I can't believe I forgot to do this last week, although Dave got his Christmas present last week. But I forgot the giveaways I had with me in the studio. So today we've got some stuff. We've got a Rio fly line, an InTouch Series 4-weight fly line. Plaza Coins and Knives, one of the sponsors of this show, is giving me up to a $200 Benchmade knife. So if you like Benchmade, or if you like knives in general, and Benchmade is funny, you know, Benchmade gets all the credit for having the military style flip opens and all, but they have several very nice skinners and hunting knives too. Very nice. So anyway, we've got those. So stay tuned. You'll need that number, 877-235-9405. The weather, you know, is one topic. But it was really cool because today in Arlington National Cemetery, they laid 240,000 wreaths on the graves in Arlington today, which is really, it's really Christmas wreaths on those graves at Christmas time. Really a neat thing. I guess let's see. Daughter's home from school, and what should have been Christmas movie night last night was turned into CSU football night. And they lost. So we're kind of sad around my house. Had the third archery tournament, NASP archery tournament this morning for Taylor. Have three qualifying and then the three, I guess their rankings through three qualifying tournaments will determine if they get onto the actual team that, you know, competes in state and state, national, and in worlds. So National Archery and School Program is a really cool thing if your kids are not into it. And I guess with the Hunger Games and all that, I know we're Hunger Games up to the hilt at my house. Kids like those archery movies and that sort of thing. NASP is really cool. We've had several people on the show in the past to talk about it. We're going to have some more in the future. It's a really growing thing. And now they've got the 3D target tournaments that are starting up. I guess it's one thing to shoot a square target, but you know, there's shooting something that looks like a deer or a bear or a pig or whatever is kind of fun. Speaking of archery, I have an entry level bow. It's a Hoyt, shoots about 300 or so feet per second. But I had a little bit of time to kill down in Columbia Thursday, and I went by Jeffrey Archery. And if you need a good bow for Christmas or want to talk to somebody, I mean, Tom Jeffrey and those have a great shop there on Bluff Road in Columbia. And his dad, Owen, who's still around the shop, was contemporary with Fred Bear and helped him develop bow lines and all. And they still do traditional longbows and recurves, handmade wooden bows. They're really, really neat place. But anyway, I was down there. And like I said, I've got this little introductory level compound bow, which is really still amazingly accurate and fast. I think it's about 300 feet per second or so. But I was looking at bows, and he's like, you know, you need to shoot one of these upper-level bows. So he had one there and pulled it off the shelf and didn't have sights on it or anything. He just wanted me to shoot it. Got in there, and it's 350 feet per second. And my bow, I know at 20, 30 yards, you can pull that thing back. You know, you release it. You hear the line thump, and then you hear the arrow thump down on the target downrange. This thing, the release and that arrow hitting that target were almost simultaneous. 350 feet per second on those arrows. Amazing. Just a little bit better cam, differently shaped cams on a compound bow, how it just makes a world of difference. So if you're into archery, you know what I'm talking about. If you think your kids would be interested in archery, you need to check out the National Archery in School program. It's a great thing. Your school should have one. Private, public, ours is a homeschool team. They're all over the state. Yeah, good thing for kid to get involved in. Just a few things to, not much going on. Well, there's a lot going on, but it's not much as far as scheduling and all goes. But one thing I ran across that was pretty neat, and not many times am I ever enthralled with shooting something in a contest. But even I think my wife would agree with this one. This is the WeHuntSouthCarolina.com 2016 Predator Challenge. It's that time of year we're excited to announce our annual Predator competition for a weekend of chasing coyotes from South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, and doing what we can to reduce the coyote population across the state. This year it's only coyotes. Based on the feedback they have from last year, the competition is the weekend of January 22nd through the 24th. The, my goodness, the first 25 teams to register get three points towards their final score. And they have a little blurb here that's pretty good. Help raise awareness about predator hunting. Even if you're not a predator hunter yourself, you still probably like to hunt deer, turkey, or some other game. If you're familiar with SCDNR's reports, based on studies done at Savannah River Site, Dr. John Kilgo's reports, and several done in Georgia, Alabama, all across the Southeast, on the damage that coyotes are doing to game populations across the state, or if you know farmers and livestock holders that are having problems with it, then you should understand why we must take action to control the coyote population. So, spread the word to other hunters, and even if you're not into, you know, something like this, which I'm kind of indifferent to this one. We do need to control the coyote population. I'll give you a funny little thing. Last night, probably 11 o'clock last night, my wife was taking my lab, Sophie. Normally I take her out at night before we go to bed. And Debbie was out there with her in the backyard. I went out once and, because I saw the door cracked open, and Debbie, and she was like, oh, I'm not taking something. So, okay. So I went back in. A couple minutes later, she still wasn't in, so I went back out there. As I went through the back door, there were some Greenville County Sheriff's Department cars coming up the highway, lights and sirens going. And as they passed the house, the coyotes went nuts behind the house. And I'm talking within 100 yards either way are subdivisions of over 100 houses. And I tell you what, I would have not have been glad I was not between the door and my wife. I would have been laid out on the floor. She they got her moving in a hurry. The thing is, Sophie went the other way. She went towards the coyotes because she smelled them. So it was kind of an interesting little thing. But anyway, we do. Coyotes are taking a huge toll on not only deer, turkeys, any ground nesters or anything, starting to come into subdivisions and take, you know, Fido and Fifi. So anyway, put that down if you're interested in it. If you're a deer hunter, you really need to be a coyote hunter at least April, May, and June. So stay tuned. We'll be back on the other side with some more things going on in the outdoors. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I'm sure there's at least one person out there listening today. It's so nice. I mean, the pictures of people up hiking and outdoors. I mean, there's only one set of people out there who hates this weather, and that's deer hunters. I started taking a look at this weather coming in, and I just put everything away. There's no reason to go out there and sit in 70 degree and fight mosquitoes again. So there's it, but everybody else loves it. Beachgoers, hikers, anybody out Christmas shopping, whoever. It is nice weather out there. I toyed with shorts and flip-flops today, but kind of lost that summertime tan. I don't want to blind anybody. But anyway, you know, for the one person that's out there listening, or if you know somebody that's a fly fisherman, the folks over at Rio Products make a good fishing line, a fly line. They really do. They've always been good to me when I see them at ICAST. Give me some lines, give me some hats, you know, and all that. So first person, 877-235-9405, got a 4-weight Rio InTouch fly line. It's about an $80 line. It's amazing how expensive fly fishing is these days. But it's a Rio 4-weight InTouch. First person that calls in the show, it's yours. Merry Christmas. Enjoy it. It's a great line. No stretch and just a great one. Yeah, 877-235-9405. Did I not say that? I'm sorry. Okay, 877-235-9405 if you want a Rio fly line. 4-weight for the fly fisherman in your life, or if you want to get involved in fly fishing, it's a great line to start off with. Trust me. But anyway, we're getting towards the end of deer season, winding up, and we've had the last week. I talked a little bit about guns and regulations and whatever that's going on. And it always brings back to mind, you know, yeah, there are 80-some million gun owners in this country that never have a problem with it. And it always brings back this story I like to go to at least once a year. And it's from 2013. It's still a great article, though. This is from the American Hunter, and it's called The World's Largest Army. The world's largest army, America's hunters. The writer says, I've never thought about this, but a blogger added up the deer license sales in just a handful of states and arrived at a striking conclusion. Now get this now. There were over 600,000 hunters this season in the state of Wisconsin. Now, this is 2013. Remember that. But the numbers haven't shifted much. Allow me to restate that number, 600,000. Over the last several months, Wisconsin hunters became the eighth largest army in the world. More men in arms than in Iran. More than France and Germany combined. These men and women deployed to the woods of a single American state, Wisconsin, to hunt with firearms, and no one was killed. That number pales in comparison to the 750,000 who hunted the woods of Pennsylvania and Michigan's 700,000 hunters, all of whom have now returned home safely. Toss in 250,000 hunters in West Virginia, and it literally establishes the fact that the hunters of those four states alone would comprise the largest army in the world. And then add in the total number of hunters in the other 46 states, it's millions more. The point is this. America will forever be safe from foreign invasion with this kind of homegrown firepower. Hunting, it's not just a way to fill the freezer. It's a matter of national security. That's why all enemies, foreign and domestic, want to see us disarmed. Food for thought when we next consider gun control, which is we're doing that. This is 2013 and we're doing that right now. Overall, it's true. So if we disregard some assumption that hunters don't possess the same skill as soldiers, the question would still remain, what army of 2 million would want to face 30, 40, 50 million armed citizens? For the sake of our freedom, don't ever allow gun control or confiscation of guns. And hand in hand with what we've been going through here in the national discussion. Just a little tidbit for the next time you get into this kind of argument. South Carolina ranks 21st on the most heavily armed states in the United States. For every 1,000 residents in South Carolina, there are 11.6 guns. That's 55,286 registered firearm per 100,000. No, I'm sorry. That's 55,286 registered firearms among 4,774,839 people. Pretty cool. And then I know a lot of you know who O'Neill Williams is. O'Neill is a radio host out of Georgia. I believe it's out of Atlanta, Georgia. And he posted something this morning that I thought you might enjoy. If I can read this here, it's a little bit small and it's not getting any bigger for me. Oh, me. Why I carry a gun and know how to use it. I don't carry a gun to kill people. I carry a gun to keep from being killed. I don't carry a gun to scare people. I carry a gun because sometimes the world can be a scary place. I don't carry a gun because I'm paranoid. I carry a gun because there are real threats in the world. I don't carry a gun because I'm evil. I carry a gun because I have lived long enough to see the evil in the world. I don't carry a gun because I hate the government. I carry a gun because I understand the limitations of government. I don't carry a gun because I'm angry. I carry a gun so that I don't have to spend the rest of my life hating myself for failing to be prepared. I don't carry a gun because I want to shoot someone. I carry a gun because I want to die at the ripe old age in my head and not on a sidewalk somewhere tomorrow afternoon. I don't carry a gun to make me feel like a man. I carry a gun because men know how to take care of themselves and the ones they love. I don't carry a gun because I feel inadequate. I carry a gun because unarmed and facing three armed thugs, I am inadequate. I don't carry a gun because I love it. I carry a gun because I love life and the people that make it meaningful to me. Police protection is an oxymoron. Free citizens must protect themselves. Police do not protect you from the crime. They investigate the crime after it happens and then clean up the mess. This is the best line of it all. Personally, I carry a gun because I'm too young to die and too old to take a beating. So, O'Neill Williams. I like O'Neill. He's a really neat guy. And then one more thing, just to kind of, you know, even if you wanted to remove all the guns, it's not going to happen. There are, and again, I think I'm going to have to go buy me a new computer because this one's just not getting it for me. There have been over 100 million guns sold in the United States in the last 6 years, which is an incredible statistic. And it begs what it does is, well, here's Black Friday sales, 185,000. The month of November, 2.2 million. And in 2015, over 19 million guns ran through the Department of Justice NICS systems. So here's an interesting, enough guns were sold on Black Friday to create a new military branch. And part of you says, well, especially the gun control people, why? That's because the average ordinary guy knows and realizes that to defend himself, he needs to take responsibility and do it himself. I mean, 911 and the coroner's office are on the same line at my house. So anyway, just something for you. You know, it's just always something out there that catches my eye. All right. One thing I wanted to get to today is the Geminids meteor shower. It always falls, and I know it always is there because it falls on my daughter's birthday. And it's a really cool, just a family event that's, you don't have to do anything special. Go out in the backyard or get away from lights. Lay down on the ground, preferably on a sleeping bag or something, and just stare up at the sky. This year, 2015, the Geminids will peak the evening of the 13th until dawn of the 14th. So what's that? Today's the 12th. So Sunday night into Monday morning is the peak. Now, you can see them a few mornings before and a few nights after, but the peak is Sunday night into Monday. The Geminids are usually one of the biggest out there every year. We've got a waxing crescent moon, so it's not going to be a factor this year. And the article from Earth and Sky says how to watch the Geminids. They're particularly reliable and prolific shower, one of the finest of the year. The peak night, of course, tomorrow into Monday. You don't need special equipment, just a dark open sky and maybe a sleeping bag to keep you warm. With these temperatures, trust me, you won't need much of a sleeping bag. Lay back where it's comfortable. Don't bend your neck looking upwards. And look, now the local peak will typically be centered about 2 a.m. local time, no matter where you are on the globe. That's because the constellation Gemini, which is looks like the orienting spot of the shower, will reach its highest point in the night sky around 2 a.m. Just makes sense. It starts out rather low on the horizon. As the night goes in, it goes further up in the sky. Some people mistakenly think that since meteor showers have radiant points, you should look in that direction. It's not true. Just look up. This actually says you could have your back turned towards the origin of the shower and still see them streak across the sky. And the cool thing about meteors is most of them are no bigger than a grain of sand. And yet they will light up that sky just an incredible, incredible amount of light. It takes your eyes between 15 and 20 minutes to adjust to the dark. So get out there. Don't expect to see them right off the bat because it will take your eyes a little bit of time to get used to what you call your night vision. Be careful if you go out there with flashlights. Don't 20 minutes into it, turn the flashlight on because you'll ruin it all again. But anyway, that's just something you can do as a family. It doesn't cost you anything. And it's a fun time. Trust me, we do it and we have a ball doing it. You know, hot chocolate, popcorn. It's just one of those cool things. And that's pretty much the calendar. This time of the year, look, take a break from deer hunting. Whatever you're doing outside fishing, go take your family to Rupper Mountain Light Center. Go look at the lights on the coast. You know, take them to Hollywild Animal Farm. Just do the family thing. It's the time of the year for family. Deer season's drawing to a close next year. Well, just have to wait for it to get here. Hang on through the break. We're going to talk to Mark Crawford about striper fishing when we come back on the other side. So this is Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hang with me through the break. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I want to say congratulations to Trey from Forest City, North Carolina. I'll get that in the mail to you, and I hope you enjoy that fly line. I enjoy mine immensely, immensely. We're not going to waste any more time. We have Captain Mark Crawford on the line with us. Now, Mark is a striper guide, obviously loves striper fishing. If you remember on the calendar from a couple weeks back, we had an event on Lake Murray called the Striped Bass Challenge. And Mark, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. How was fishing for you today?
We caught fish and we enjoyed being out there today. Didn't catch the big ones, but we had a great time.
Beautiful weather to be out there, I'm sure.
It was a blessing. It was beautiful weather.
Well, look, we had this big striper tournament. We were talking a little bit about it when I talked to you Thursday. Go ahead and take us through your little recap of the tournament for us.
Okay, just a little recap. The Striped Bass Challenge, first of all, we'll give out a special thanks to Mike Dillon with NASCAR and his secretary, Robin Jarrett, for all their hard work. They put a lot into this event this year to make it happen. And also, congratulations to first place for Rob Hedrick, April Hedrick, Wes Gilmore, and Jim Carver win $15,000 for the largest two fish weigh-in at the tournament, and also a bad boy buggy for big fish at the tournament. Also, April Hedrick winning Lady Angler, and he received a pendant from Hayes Jewelers valued at $1,800. Also, want to give a thanks to the South Carolina DNR for helping us return the stripers back to the lake so someone else can enjoy them just like we did by putting them back into the lake. It was a great success on live fish release. And going to that, I want to thank Live System Striper Tubes for creating a product for the great success of holding them in the striper tubes in our boats and being able to release them back in the lake after weigh-in. We're right. all about conservation. If you want to order some striper tubes, I'm going to have also a penalty, and I'll talk about that in a minute about my event.
Okay.
10% penalty on my tournaments. But if you want to order striper tubes to keep these fish alive and get them back in, you would go to www.stripedbasscc.org or call Warren Turner at 864-915-5348. And also I want to thank to all the fishing people that came out there, the ladies, the youth, the men and women, everybody. Without them, it wouldn't have happened. And also, it was such a great event, and it was mainly due to the fishermen, the sponsors, and everyone that helped with us. So please go to the Striped Bass Challenge website and look at all the sponsors and everything and put in great support for them. And also thanks to Robin, Jared, like I said, and Mike dealing with NASCAR.
Yeah, I talked to I emailed back and forth with Robin. We were trying to get Mike on to tell us a little bit, and that was the same weekend. The weekend before, you had the event where they were down in Homestead, Florida, you know, getting ready to wrap up the season, and just never made that contact. But I heard y'all had a great event. How many boats did you have?
We had 170 boats. That's the biggest striper tournament I know of. I've been fishing for about 10 years now. And we've had a couple of those as pushing probably 130, but that was the largest one
wow.
that I've ever been in.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Now, obviously, you like stripers. Probably no quibbling about that. But tell us a little bit about yourself. Yeah, you got a pretty cool story about how you came to do this tournament trail. But bring us up to date. What do you do, and how'd you get there to do that in your life?
Well, first of all, I'm blessed to have a wonderful wife that supports me and three children that allows me to get out here and go out and fish.
Sure.
I started fishing. I was born in Augusta, but my granddaddy had a place on the lake up here in Lincoln since 1965. And since then, I've moved up here and I live on the lake now.
Okay.
So, I started fishing, just enjoying myself going out there and just throwing, casting for top water action, them hybrids and stuff, and that
right.
got me hooked. Then I started catching a few nice stripers. And, you know, as you talk to people more and more and kind of pick their brains a little bit, you kind of get some ideas on how to do it. Now, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you I'm the best out there because I'm not. I mean, I learn something new every day.
Sure.
But I enjoy fishing, and that's my way to just have my peace and enjoyment and to get out there and enjoy what God's creation has given us.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I learned a lot just talking to you on the phone the other day, and I appreciate that. That's one nice thing about this doing this radio show is you're always learning something. So I know what you're talking about, that learning. But, okay, Open Stripe Bass Tournament Trail. It's brand new this year. Take us from your relationship with the Stripe Bass Challenge into this tournament trail.
All right. I guess it was a year ago. That's how long we've been working on the Stripe Bass Challenge tournament. A year ago, Mike Dillon came down and fished a tournament. I was sponsored by Steel, Chainsaws Team Steel at the time. And I put on a tournament at Clark's Hill, and him with RCR Racing came down.
Right.
And he enjoyed it so much that it inspired him to get with Bass Pro Shops, which was one of our main sponsors on this past event.
Right.
And they got to talking, and we created a committee, and I was part of that. And I was blessed to be able to go up there to their golf course and everything and meet with them and up there in Lexington, North Carolina. And
right.
Just kind of went off from there. And, you know, Mike's got his hands full with NASCAR, of course. And I was amazed at how much he was able to accomplish through this with all he had going on with the race season.
Right.
I couldn't even fathom doing that, what he's doing.
Oh, I'm sure.
But what I'm trying to do is the whole purpose of the thing was to try to get a professional trail going.
Okay.
You had the largemouth trails, and
sure.
I feel like we got enough participation, and it proved this last event, 170 entries, that we have enough participation that we can get a professional trail if we could just get the right backing and the right sponsorship.
Sure.
So what I'm doing at this point in time, until we have a commitment from a major sponsor or someone that wants to come on board with us and get this trail running, I'm actually doing a tournament trail myself this year to keep the people interested and keep them fishing and get their mind and keep it on striper fishing instead of going back and not having it on their minds anymore.
Sure.
So you got- I'm going to have some tournaments going, and five of them this year, and try to get them to fish as many of them as I can until we can get a major sponsor to get us going with a tournament.
And you're fishing some good lakes, Clark's Hill, Lake Hartwell, Lake Murray, Lake Thames Ford, Lake Lanier. Those are some good striper lakes.
Yeah, so there's some big – I've never fished Lake Thames Ford. I've fished all the others.
Okay.
And I can vouch for Clark's Hill and Lake Hartwell and Lake Lanier. They have some monster stripers. Now, Rob Hedrick proved that there were some monster stripers at Lake Murray this past. He caught, I believe, his biggest fish was 26 pounds.
Wow. Striper fishing in itself, is it a – I mean, we talked a little bit. You don't have to have a $75,000 boat to striper fish, right?
No, sir. When I first started striper fishing, like I said, I was going out casting for top water. I had a little John boat with like a 5-horse on the back of it. And me
right.
And my son would go out there and we'd throw top water plugs in the shallows when it's schooling and have a ball. And I caught some of my biggest fish doing that. You don't have to have a $50,000 boat. You know, I mean, you can have as little as tackle as you want. You can have small reels, light line. I've heard people catching big stripers on 10-pound test line. Little spinner reels.
It's just about being a good fisherman when you do
that.
Lot. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. I can't, I myself personally, I don't have the nerves to fight a 40-pound striper on 10-pound test. I just don't have the nerves to do it.
Just to tear you up, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, tell us, okay, some of your sponsors for this tournament trail for this year.
Yes, sir. I got major sponsors and also got some sponsors that are helping me out, and they're just as important to me as the major. I won't go through all of them, but I'll go through the major ones I have on board right now.
Go ahead.
I have the Angler Magazine, which will be putting out several thousand magazines throughout the month. It'll start in January because it didn't reach the deadline.
Okay.
We've been working hard on this.
Okay.
I got Lake Hartwell Outdoors.
All right.
They have a awesome bait store.
They do.
There at Lake Hartwell.
They do.
I have Trax Tech, Ultimate Fishing Systems. I have Scale Systems. They donated my scales for this tournament for the trail this year. I have Phoenix Printing, done all my brochures and everything.
All right.
I have Sea Angler Gear. I have Hydroglow Lights. I have Real Intentions. They custom made rods. I have Southern Outdoors, Southern Edge Outdoors, I'm sorry.
Okay.
And then I have Herb Odom, that's a gentleman up in Nashville. It's a friend of friend of mine, Bob Angelo. He's wanting to donate $5,000 just to the entries for the Tim Ford's tournament. So that's a blessing.
Wow.
And then, of course, I got Woods of Water, South Carolina. What a blessing that is.
What a blessing that is. I'm glad I could be a blessing to somebody.
Yes, sir.
Well, okay. You kind of got history, the tie-in. Your tournament's going to start. Actually, the first registration deadline is December the 29th of this year. So if people want to get involved, they need to go ahead and get – do you have to – is it a point system where you have to fish all five tournaments, or is it just each tournament's a standalone?
No, so each tournament's a standalone, but
okay.
Trax Tech has donated a team of the year. I come up with something instead of trying to keep up with a point system.
Okay.
I'm doing a total weight accumulated throughout the year.
Okay.
For your team.
Okay.
And they're going to donate a $1,500 gift card towards their products and $1,000 cash at the last tournament. So you could fish three of the big tournaments, Hartwell, Lanier, and Clark's Hill, and still could have a chance of winning the team of the year by weight.
Very good. Very good. Where can somebody's out there listening and just wants more information, where can they go to find some more information on this tournament trail?
I have a website right now that's being designed. That is, I've already have all the information as far as the tournament.
Right.
Just do not have the rules and the some other stuff on it yet.
Okay.
But it's www.osbtt.com.
Looking at it right now, it's a pretty good website. I love the fish. Love the fish. Well, look, Mark, I appreciate you coming on the show. Anytime you got an update, anytime you want to give a report, after a tournament or anything, just let me know and we'll get you back on the air and hopefully we can keep this thing going until y'all can sign up somebody, and this will be more than just time between two big events.
Yes, sir, and I have room for if anyone else that wants to get on board with us, I would love for them to call me and contact me. My information is on that website.
All right.
And I can get them. It could be a small donation, a small sponsorship at one event, or it could be something throughout the whole trail. All they have to do is just contact me, and this is my cell phone number. It's on the website.
Very nice. Well, Mark, I've enjoyed talking to you the last couple of times. Enjoy talking to you today, and hopefully we'll talk very soon.
All right. Thank you so much, sir.
Thanks, Mark.
All right. Have a good day.
You same. Bye-bye. There you go. You don't have to have a huge investment. Go striper fishing. I know my idea of striper fishing is fly fishing on the lights, but you can get involved in it for little or nothing. So hang on through the break. Come back. I'm going to wrap up another show for today. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. If you go to www.osbtt.com, you can see all the information he's got up there. Like I said, it's in the development stages. I'm glad to be in on the ground floor, hopefully, and watch this thing, I don't know, develop into, like you said, a professional tournament trail. January 9th is Clarks Hill. February the 6th is Lake Hartwell. March the 5th is Lake Murray. April the 16th is Lake Thames Ford, and November the 5th is Lake Lanier. And again, that's www.osbtt.com, the open striped bass tournament trail. And before we go any further, if you like Benchmade knives, if you like knives in general, Benchmade just makes a really nice one. 877-235-9405, 877-235-9405. Got up to a $200 Benchmade knife waiting for you at Plaza Coins and Knives in Greenville, South Carolina. So give a call. First caller to the show is going to have a nice little thing to put up under their Christmas tree. Preferably not the six-year-old that's, you know, got his own cell phone. We don't want to, you know, lose a limb here. But anyway, Benchmade's great knife. I've got a couple of them. Boy, I tell you, they're sharp. So if you like good knives, there you go. Been had this one in here for a couple of months now, and I wanted to get to it because it is, you know, the time of the year, and I always say what every household should have a pair of binoculars. And this just goes hand in hand with that. It's Department of Natural Resources offered guidelines to keep bird feeders clean, backyard birds safe. You know, keep your feeders clean. Seed feeders should be thoroughly cleaned at least once per month. With one part liquid chlorine bleach to nine parts hot water. Who knew? Make enough solution to put the whole feeder in it. Allow it to soak for 10 minutes. Wear rubber gloves and wash all the parts inside and out. And, you know, rinse the feeder and allow them to dry in clean water for 10 seconds to remove the residue and then air dry. Nectar feeders should be cleaned each time they're refilled. Clean the surrounding areas. In addition to keeping the bird feeders open, clean, it is essential to clean all nearby areas. I know a lot of my spill is eaten by the squirrels around my house, and they've learned to jump from the brick pillar about 2 feet to the bird feeder. It's amazing to watch them do that. Keep your food fresh. And like I said, keep those binoculars handy. Keep a camera handy. When I work at my office, when I do sit at my office desk downstairs, I have a couple of bird feeders right outside the doors. And I just keep my camera right there. Shoot your pictures. It's amazing some of the cool pictures you can have. And to go hand in hand with that, there's a, over the Christmas holidays, they have what's called a Christmas bird count. It's the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services. They have this every year. I believe this is the 100th, if I'm not mistaken. It's in its 116th year. Takes place between December the 14th and January 5th. It's organized in what they call circles. You find a circle that's near you. They set up a day to count birds. And just like in Hunters with Wildlife, when we do these wildlife surveys, how many deer did you see, how many deer, this is pretty much the same thing on the naturalist bird side, is they make these long-term trends in bird populations, and it just helps them figure out where those populations are going. But anyway, 115th year, which is a pretty long, long existence to have this. Get involved. By now, you might be wondering on how you can be a part of this tradition. It's pretty simple. You find a circle near you at the Audubon.org website. You get in touch with a circle lead to find out the day of the count and determine whether you will follow a route or monitor your feeder. After the data is collected, send it to your computer and add it to a report. You're welcome to participate in as many circles as you wish. Hundreds of National Wildlife Refuges, and I think that would be the place to be to do this, is on a National Wildlife Refuge. So, you know, pretty cool thing, Christmas bird count. And like I said, I do say everybody ought to have a pair of binoculars in the house. In fact, somebody's getting a Christmas present that's a pair of binoculars this year. I won't say who right yet. But anyway, I want to say congratulations to Linda from Lake Toxaway, North Carolina. Boy, I tell you, where are my South Carolina listeners today? They're all on Folly Road headed to Charleston. So congratulations, Linda. We'll talk and I'll figure out which one you want and we'll get that in the mail to you, unless you're going to be in town and we can arrange for you to pick it up. Many of you don't know this. I mean, many of you know South Carolina Department of Natural Resources, and you know the enforcement officers, and you know, yeah, they have an office in Columbia and Fort Johnson and Clemson and all. They do a lot. A story out this week, the red drum and sea trout released to boost local populations. Story goes like this. This is the Department of Natural Resources story. The DNR has nearly concluded its Computer and the tongue have both taken the day off. They're at Folly Road, too. Has nearly concluded its annual release of young red drum and spotted sea trout into estuaries along the South Carolina coast. Program aims to increase the numbers of these native fish, which are two of the most popular species among recreational anglers in the state. We've released about 1 million small juvenile red drum and spotted sea trout in South Carolina coastal waters this year, comprised of about 600,000 red drum and more than 300,000 spotted sea trout, said Carl Brinkert, DNR wildlife biologist. We know from previous year's stockings that this number of fish can make a significant contribution to the wild population. And I want you to follow the process for getting these fish stocked. It begins when wild redfish and trout are caught in Charleston area waters and transported to the lab at the James Island campus for DNR. Once at the lab, the adult fish are held in specialized tanks that mimic, recreate natural conditions under which the fish mate and spawn. Eggs produced in these tanks are incubated and hatched within 1 to 2 days. The resulting larvae are stocked into outdoor nursery ponds at the Waddell Mariculture Center in Bluffton, where they're raised to the size of 1 to 2 inches before being harvested and stocked in South Carolina coastal waters. The adult fish are returned to the waters from which they were collected. Probably 2 or 3 months into this show, back in 2014, I spent 3 days at Waddell Mariculture Center in Bluffton with Al Stokes. And it's an incredible process they get. Mariculture is essentially saltwater farming or aquaculture. And it's really a neat thing. They are going through a multi-million dollar renovation process down there at Waddell. I can't wait till it reopens. It is open to the public. You can go down there and take a tour, find out what they do, but it's really cool. And in all this, the big thing that Waddell does is they take genetic samples, which tells them how the populations are doing. Ones that are caught, recaptured, they get a sampling research from them and allows both to track the genetic health of the overall population and keep tabs on how hatchery raised fish fare once they're released into the wild. DNR stock enhancement team is one of the leaders in the field of responsible stocking programs by using cutting edge tools in our research. That's Tanya Darden, Assistant Director of DNR's Marine Research Resources Institute. Our program plays a key part in the effective management of resources by providing important information about natural populations as well as contributing to them. And hand in hand with that is, when you talk about stripers, there's only one naturally reproducing striper population in the state of South Carolina. And that's the ones that go through the St. Stephen's Fish Lift and up into Lakes Marion and Moultrie into Santee Cooper, essentially. The rest of them, Lake Hartwell, Lake Murray, Lake Wylie, all the striper populations and hybrid populations in South Carolina are stocked by the Department of Natural Resources. So, and don't ask me to get into the difference between stripers and hybrids. Hybrids have a broken lateral line somewhere. But it's like Mark and I were talking the other day. He said on a 20-pound striper, you're probably going to have enough lines where you have a broken line. The one thing he did say is if you're catching, you know, under the 10-pound range and it looks like a hybrid, it probably is. They don't get much bigger than that on a normal basis. So, there again, that's your tax dollars at work. Putting back in not only redfish, sea trout, but also stripers for us to go out there and catch, which is a pretty cool thing. And I'm, like I said, I can't wait for Waddell to be back up and running. We're going to have a, do another show with Al Stokes and tell us what all they've done down there. The improvements to the hatching tanks and the, some of the research projects they're going to be starting up. When I was down there, they were researching how to grow tilapia, shrimp, and redfish all in a sequence. And there were people from all over the world coming here to find out how to do it because there's so many people that rely on the sea for their food and their existence. They're trying to learn how to farm all the stuff that we eat. And don't forget, when you go get shrimp, make sure they're fresh South Carolina shrimp. Oyster season is back open. Real quickly, in Star Wars is coming back out. And this week's Chuck, and only you Star Wars people will know this, Chuck Norris made the Kessel Run in 10 parsecs, not 12. And it's over. There's another week. You know, it's Christmas. I hope you enjoy what this show's done. It's a gift to you. I enjoy doing it, but I love to give back. So anyway, like always, make time to get out there. Be careful when you are. Don't forget that camera. We'll see you next week.